Worship team again this morning for leading our thoughts and our time here this morning in worshiping and praise and worship. It truly is good to be able to be here again this morning and share, and I am so blessed in having a body of saints that I can call part of my own. I mean that not owning, but that I'm a part of a fellowship of saints that it's just so good to be able to be part of a fellowship. I was laying there in the hospital after surgery and in pretty intense pain, and the nurse that was there that night or that afternoon, the nurse that was helping to take care of me at that time, that nurse was, I discovered while I was in the hospital, there are some nurses that do it for a job. There are some nurses that are truly nurses. And the one that was there that afternoon when I came out of, came to and was in pain there, was truly a nurse. She was able to put the pillow at the right place and that kind of thing, and truly cared about, it felt like truly cared about the pain that I was experiencing, along with Karen and Krista were there as well. And again, with that support, felt like I was able to go through something that I really didn't have an idea what I was waking up to before when I went into the surgery. I went in healthy and I came out steamrolled. It's kind of what it felt like. So it was good to have that support. It was good to have that that fellowship there with Karen and Krista, and also that nurse that seemed to know where to be at the right place at the right time. So it was good. Which leads me to this morning and to the sharing that I felt like God laid on my heart. I was spending some time in devotions one morning, and this scripture came as one for me to read and to share. It's Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to be sharing that with you. And along with that, as I looked at this scripture and I thought about the community of believers, the community of Christians, and what that looks like and what that feels like to be part of that, the community of believers, and recognizing again that we are not loners. God has created us part of a body. God has created us part of a bigger unit. And as I was thinking about this and reading over this, I recalled a documentary that I watched one time on the wolves in Yellowstone National Park. And the documentary started out where the wolves, they either found a carcass of an elk or what it was, and there was one wolf that found it, and the wolf was there feeding on this carcass, and after a while, here comes a grizzly bear. And the wolf tried to chase the grizzly bear off, but as you know, that is no match for the wolf to come up against the grizzly bear. And it was just so amusing as I watched this thing unfold. The wolf trotted away to the top of a little hill. He sat down there and he started to howl. And he howled for a while. And I don't know how much time elapsed while the grizzly bear was eating his meat, the wolf's meat. The grizzly bear was busy eating. The wolf is sitting over there howling. And after a while, here comes two wolves from that way and a couple wolves from over in this way. And after a while, there were a pack of wolves gathered around this one wolf. And together they went and they approached the grizzly bear. And now the grizzly bear is no match for a pack of wolves. They were able to drive the grizzly bear off, which amused me. The grizzly, he couldn't keep track of them. They were everywhere. And he finally left and they fed on the carcass. And my thought was this morning, maybe you're here this morning and there's a grizzly bear in your life that has taken the food that is yours, is robbing you of your nourishment, is robbing you of the spiritual nourishment that God wants to give you, and you need help, and you're sitting on the hill and you're howling. Is there a body of believers, is there saints that will come around you, will come with you and help you to drive off the grizzly bear? That's the gist of the message this morning that I find here in this scripture. As a body of believers, when we function together to the honor and the glory of God, we can become an awesome force to be reckoned with by the enemy. But standing alone, we're not. Standing alone, we are not. And I'm just going to read another scripture before we get into this. It says in Ephesians 4, 1 through 5, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And hallelujah, that we are able today to be part of a fellowship, to be part of the fellowship of saints as we gather together here this morning. And looking at Philippians, I'm just going to read the first two verses to start out. It says this, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to pause there for a moment and ask you this morning, are you truly a bondservant of Jesus Christ? And what is a bondservant? What is a bondservant? A bondservant is a servant that doesn't have the freedom to go and choose another master, doesn't have the freedom to go and work for someone else. He is a bondservant. He is, sometimes it's likened to a bit like a slave, but not in the slavery in the way that we understand it today. A bondservant was somebody who was so committed that they didn't have opportunity to go and serve someone else. Are you a bondservant of Jesus Christ this morning? If you're not, you can be by releasing yourself and giving acknowledgement to the fact that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Then you can be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. You are a bondservant to Him. You serve Him. Reading on, it says, and this is who Paul is addressing. He says this, to all the saints. And I got caught up there as I thought about Paul as he's addressing the saints. And he's addressing the saints in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. But I got caught up in the fact that Paul was addressing the saints. And the rest of this passage of Scripture goes on and talks about some of the things and how Paul encouraged the saints in their walk with the Lord and in the time when they were being persecuted, in the time where they were being challenged, how Paul came alongside and encouraged them. In conjunction with that, the Board of Ministry has chosen to take some time to work through the covenant again in preaching the scriptures and stuff that are outlined in our covenant, that we have made a covenant to each other to fellowship together as a body of believers here at New Covenant. So I'm going to be looking at the first two paragraphs of the covenant, if we can get that up there. We'll be taking a look at the first two paragraphs of the covenant, spending a little bit of time there. Romans 12:5 says this, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And the whole purpose of our being together and our honoring God is to honor God. Our whole purpose of being together is to honor God, okay? And so the covenant that we share together, I think is very basic. I think it is very, especially the first paragraph of the covenant, and I'm going to read that I don't know if there's something I need to do to get this up or if we could get that first paragraph up there, that'd be good. I'm on here, but it's not coming through. That's good. Let me try. Yeah. There we go. We got it. The first paragraph of the covenant says this, and this is important in my message this morning. We recognize Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. We accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior, God as our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit as our guide, and then we accept the Bible and its authoritative word as the authoritative Word of God and believe that all Scripture is given by direct inspiration of God. We therefore base our faith, life, and practice on its written word, written message. Our goal is to live according to Jesus' teaching of love, peace, and reconciliation in all our relationships. We affirm and accept the doctrines of the Bible as expressed in the 1963 Mennonite Confession of Faith. And the thing that just stood out to me again as I looked at this paragraph and I thought about the recognizing Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. Why is that important this morning? Why is that important? Well, it's pretty elementary. There is no other way. There is no one else. Amen? It is Jesus Christ and in Him alone that we obtain salvation. It is we accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior. It is only Him. And then looking at God as our Heavenly Father, there is no other God. There is no God. There is only one God, the true God, Yahweh. He is God, Him alone. He is our Heavenly Father. And then we look at the next part there, and it says the Holy Spirit as our guide. And I thought about that as I was thinking about how is the Holy Spirit being worked out as our guide today. And I thought about looking at Scripture and reading Scripture and studying the Word of God and looking at the Word of God. And I ask you this morning, is the Holy Spirit truly your guide as you look at the Scripture, as you look at the Word of God? Or is it Beth Moore or is it Andy Stanley? Who is truly the guide that teaches you the truths of God's Word? I better settle down. Okay. Sarah, I mean, it is the thing. When I look at the body of Christ, I look at the fellowship of the believers, I look at the saints fellowshipping together. That is the thing that binds us together. It is our oneness in Jesus Christ. It is our belief that God is the only God. It is our belief that the Holy Spirit is our guide. That's what binds us together. It's not that we all drive Chevy pickup trucks. I wish that we all would, but that's beside the point. That's not what binds us together. That's not what makes us one. What makes us one, and I know some of you will get there, but what makes us one is that our fellowship is in Jesus Christ. We serve one God, as the Scripture says, that there is only one God, one faith, one baptism. That's our unity. That's what binds us together. That's what draws us together, is that oneness in Christ. That's our fellowship. And you maybe feel this morning like you're not worthy of being called a saint. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you're walking with Him, you have submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and God is your Father, you are a saint this morning. You are a saint. Amen? That's what makes you a saint. I know it's hard to say, and when you introduce yourself to somebody, say that you are a saint so-and-so. They look at you funny. Why? Because we think that a saint is perfect. We got this mindset that a saint is perfect and that they don't have any faults or any problems. Acts 4:12 says this, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Pretty cut and dried. There is no question about it. There is no other name under heaven which we must be saved. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So, we have this here again, that what is it? We now recognize that our common bond is Jesus Christ. And so doesn't it safe to say that our source that we should follow is the Word of God? That's not that difficult. If Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit is our guide, then the Word of God should be the source that we follow, the only source that we follow. Is it okay to get words from these other people? Yes, not a problem. But it better line up with the Word of God as we do that. There is the story is told of the man that wanted to have direction for his life. And so he opened up his Bible and he just left it fall open. and he was going to say, well, whatever it says, that's what he's going to do. So he opened his, left his Bible fall open, and the first passage of scripture that it fell, that his hand fell upon, was said, and Judas went out and hanged himself. So he thought, that can't be right. So he shut his Bible again, and he flipped it open again. And the next verse that he fell upon and said, go and do thou likewise. And that can't be right. He shut it again, and he opened it again. And this time it fell open and said, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. So you know that there are people who, we laugh at that, but there are people who actually try to live their lives that way, where they just flop the Bible open and whatever it says, you know, without studying the Bible and taking it in its proper context. So part of being faithful in God's Word is studying the Word of God and living it out. And so I am blessed with the passion that I see in this congregation to honor the Word of God and to live according to the Word of God. And I encourage you, and I challenge you to continue to do that. It's important that we understand what we are reading. John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. And the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And we move on to the first paragraph, the next paragraph in the covenant, which is based upon this scripture in Luke 4:16. It says this. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. I think I'm missing this right here. And Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more in the day as we see the day approaching. And the paragraph that we have written for that in the covenant is recognizing the Christian's deep need for fellowship. I will faithfully support our congregation's life by participating in the worship experience and the discipleship ministries. I will support our leaders and our brothers and sisters in all our activities in prayer. And again, here we have this paragraph in the covenant calling us to the recognizing the Christian's deep need for fellowship. We are committing through the covenant to be part of the fellowship, to be part of the encouragement, to be part of the prayer life, the support. And I just encourage us again this morning that as we think about the fellowship, as we think about the saints, and here's where I'm going to jump over into this scripture here in Philippians and spend some time, a little bit of time here this morning looking at this scripture. And so we're going to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Paul says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I am so encouraged when I look at that scripture and I look at Paul writing to the Philippians, writing to the saints. And I ask you this morning, when is the last time that you in prayer were able to thank God for the saints that surround you? When is the last time that you in your prayer time thanked God for just the saints that we are gathered around, that we fellowship with? When's the last time that you thanked God for them in prayer? When is the last time? Paul also, he made requests for them with all joy. And again, I was sobered by the fact that how often do I make requests for my fellow saints with joy? How often do I make requests for my fellow saints with joy? Being part of the fellowship, being part of the body of Christ, this is a responsibility that I believe that Paul is showing us how to do this. Do you, like Paul, pray for the saints? Do you pray for the saints? It's such a vital part of the fellowship of the saints, the fellowship of the body, is that we pray for each other, that we care for each other enough to make requests of God for each other. How are we doing with that? Do you find yourself encouraging the saints? As we see there in verse 6, being confident. When's the last time that you walked up to another saint, somebody that you know is going through a difficult time or a time of testing, a time of trying? When's the last time you walked up to them and said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ? That's what Paul is sharing with the saints. He's saying, I'm confident in you. I believe in you. I'm confident that God will complete what he has started in you. This is a work that he is doing to get you closer to him. When is the last time that we have taken the time to do that? And some of the reasons, I'm going to jump down to verse 12, says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out. Paul is in chains in prison. And he's saying this, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Hallelujah. Are the saints that are surrounding you, are the saints that are watching you, and the suffering that I'm talking about this morning in this scripture, particularly, I believe that Paul is speaking to suffering because you took a stand for Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the suffering of having a tumor removed. I'm talking about there is place for that. There's other scripture for that. But in this particular scripture, I believe that what God is speaking to, or what Paul is speaking to, is the suffering that people were experiencing because they took a stand for Jesus Christ. And I know that there are people in this room this morning that are suffering because you took a stand for Jesus Christ and you made him your Lord and you made God your heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit your guide. And I ask you this morning, as saints, as fellow saints, how willing are we to step alongside of those people and to demonstrate, even in the suffering in our own lives? If you're here this morning and you're suffering because you took a stand for Jesus Christ, there's somebody is watching you. Somebody is watching you. Just as they were watching Paul, and he says in verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, how I reacted, how I responded, how I reacted to being persecuted and suffering because I took a stand for Jesus Christ. And what stands out to me is that Paul, he was praying for them in joy. And I believe so many times the witness that we leave to the fellowship around us, the saints around us, if we are suffering for the name of Christ, for the sake of Christ, if we do it joyfully, this is the result that will come. They are much more bold to speak without fear. They are much more bold to speak without fear by observing your reaction, your response to being persecuted for taking a stand for Christ. It's challenging to me. I feel like I've failed so many times where there have been cases where I've been truly persecuted for taking a stand for Christ, and I've walked around moping for a while over that, and that's not a very good testimony. It's not. So Paul, in joy, he made his request known while he was in chains in prison. Paul was grateful for the fellowship of the church. Paul was grateful for the Philippian church and the saints that were there. It's something that only saints can understand. It's something that only saints can understand. Is that fellowship that happens even when we're not together. To know that someone is praying for you. To know that someone is encouraging by their life. With the relationship with Christ, and it brings us together. That is what brings us together, our relationship with Christ. The beautiful thing is, we see in this scripture, is that Paul received the same thing from the church that he gave. He received the same things from the church that he gave. He was thankful. He was joyful. He was confident. And I believe that as Paul was sitting there in chains, and as he prayed for the saints, as he prayed joyfully for the saints, it changed his attitude. So I challenge us again this morning that as if you're in a difficult place, you're in a trying, testing time of persecution, pray for someone else. Pray for the saints around you. It will encourage you. And then you will be able, like Paul did too, to pray with joy for those that were his fellow saints. And as we go on in the scripture here, jumping down to verse 19, it says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." And then he says this, "For to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he goes on and says, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell." He's caught here. He wants to go to heaven, and yet he wants to stay here. And then in verse 23, he says, "For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for myself." It's not what it says. He says it is more needful for you. So Paul is sitting here in chains, and he is suffering, and he realizes that it would be much better if he would die. He'd be released from this, and his thoughts are not about himself. He's saying it would be better if I stayed here. Why? For you. For you. And I ask you this morning, as you look at the fellowship of saints, and as you express yourself to the other saints around you, are you expressing yourself in a way that is, it's about you? It's not about me. It's about you. It's not about me. It's about you. It's not about me. That's the way the body of Christ functions together. That's the way the fellowship of Christians function together. It's about you. It's not about me. It's about you. Jumping up to verse 27, he says this, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That I may hear of your affairs." Let me start at verse 27. "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And I asked this question to you again this morning, in standing fast, in such a way, is it such a thing that those that would speak of you as truly being saints to one another? That you are striving together with one mind and one spirit. One mind and one spirit. We are working together. As we look at each other, as we evaluate, or as we observe each other, we are saints working for the same thing. One spirit, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. And we're striving together, not as individuals. We're striving together. We're striving together. And if Paul were looking on from a distance or hearing of this from wherever he is at, would he speak of us that way? As striving together, as saints, to the honor and glory of God. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. In verse 28, it says this, "And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you salvation and that from God. And then, and this documentary with the wolves went on. There was another scene where the wolves now become the villains, which is more like you see portrayed. The wolf is the villain. The wolves were trying to take down a muskox calf. And the muskox, while the wolves, and this might have been another documentary, because I don't think there's muskox in Yellowstone, so it must have been another one getting mixed up. Not that important. But the wolves were attacking this calf. And the herd of muskox, and they ran away because they were scared. But then they circled together, and it was almost like the church started to come together and they say, we're not just going to stand by and let that calf be destroyed. And the beautiful scene was the whole herd charged the two wolves that were trying to take down the baby calf, the muskox calf, the muskox, and charged the wolves. And they surrounded the baby calf, and they all turned with their heads pointed out and their back ends toward the middle, and they formed a circle, and they have very sharp horns. And there was no way that the wolves were going to get to that calf. There was no way. They circled the calf. They used the weapons that God had gave them, and they protected the calf. It's a beautiful picture of what I believe the fellowship of saints is within the body of Christ. Are we fighting together? Are we fighting together to protect using the weapons that God has given us, the weapon of prayer, the weapon of God's word, the weapon of the Spirit of God? Are we using it? Are we protecting each other? Or are we tearing each other up? Are the wolves getting in places where we need to gather around and we need to point our horns out? As you look at the fellowship of saints, I believe there's the most beautiful picture that can be of that. In no way and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, not but to you of salvation, and that from God. And in verse 29, for you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. So not only have we been called to believe in him, but we have also been called to suffer for his sake. Suffering for his sake. Are you here this morning and you recognize again that you're going through some difficult times with family because you took a stand for Jesus Christ? Share it with us. We would like to stand with you. We would like to stand with you. We would like to encourage you. We'd like to be the saints that come around you. We'd like to be the saints that point our horns towards the enemy, because we recognize we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers of darkness. Amen? It is not people, it is not flesh, it is the enemy, it is Satan who is trying to destroy the fellowship of the saints. Amen? And will we stand together? Will we honor the Lord Jesus Christ? And will we be recognized as those who stand together for Christ? That is the purpose and that I believe of fellowshipping together and having a covenant of fellowship together where we believe, we act upon what we know to be true of God's word, and we fellowship together and we make this commitment to each other. And so I challenge you again this morning, don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. We are placed here, like Andrew said this morning, we don't understand why each one is here today at this place in this time. We don't understand why you were called to fellowship together here at New Covenant. But we do believe that it should be to the honor and glory of God, and it can be, and it will be. I am confident that God, who began a good work in you, is able to complete it to the end. We are not perfect in the sense of doing the wrong. We are perfect in Jesus Christ. We are perfect in our fellowship with the Father. We are perfect as we are named saints. Go on to the honor and glory of God. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your holiness. Thank you for your word. Lord, as we look again at the whole beauty and the interaction that Paul had with the saints, Lord, I pray that for each one of us, that would be our posture, that would be our focus, that would be who we are as we fellowship together. So God, I give this morning to you, I give this word to you. I pray, Lord, that you would protect it, that you would guard it, and that it would grow to your honor and glory. And for this church, Father, I pray that you would continue to pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, help us to recognize the places where we need to circle and to protect. Lord, help us to recognize the places where we need to encourage with words like Paul shared here in this scripture. Lord, show us the places where we are weak, where we can strengthen our fortress that you have provided with for us, Lord, the tools to do that. I am so thankful. This morning I pray, Lord, for each one of us in this building, in this room. Lord, I pray for increased strength. I pray for increased courage and boldness to speak the word, not fearful of what will happen, but recognizing that each one of us, Lord, are part of a fellowship that will gather around and strengthen each other. And so it's with that we give this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.